Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club. Reread a different trade paperback every single week. On top of reading it, we review it and record it on here.
Well, you don't need to add that part. That's kind of assumed.
I think it's funny. Comic book club. Your brother. You're Nathan. I'm Daniel. We're your brothers. We read comics.
Yep. What's up, nerds?
What's up?
We're getting right into the new year. We're going to bully our listeners this year.
Yeah.
What's up, nerds?
You dweebs.
If you listen to this, you're nerds.
Dweebs and weebs out
why
there.
Why would you even listen to this? Yeah. Happy New Year, I guess.
Oh, yeah. It is the new year.
It is the new year.
We told you we'd talk at you this year.
We talk at you this year, and we're back.
This is us making our promise.
A whole new year of trade waiting.
Yep. We're going to wait for some more trades and read and record and review more.
Exactly. And because it's the new year, right at the top of this episode, we've decided to do a best of 2021, not really specifically for trades, but sort of for just comics in general.
This is the Trade Waiters Awards.
Trade Waiters Awards.
We'll see what books will get a TWA.
Yes. So we've gotten a couple different categories that we just kind of threw together.
Yeah, like today.
And we're going to just talk about them, and we're going to decide on a definitive one together. We can't have our own.
Yeah. We have
to debate.
No two winners. There's just one winner.
Yes.
So we got best new Marvel series, best new DC series, best new indie series, best trade that we've reviewed, best nacho series, best writer, penciler, inker, and colorist.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll explain the nacho series when we get there.
If you know, you know.
Yeah.
But we'll explain to the newbies around here.
It's a
we appreciate you.
It's
newbies.
A strong part of comics to me. That's always there and will never go away. So
we coined that term.
Yeah, we will trademark it.
You came up with that, right?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
It's not something that I took from somebody. I was just like,
okay, just
one day it. I was reading something. I don't even remember what it was, but I was like, this book is like nachos. I'll explain it later. What should we start with?
And let's go with best new Marvel series.
Best new Marvel series. Okay. This one's pretty easy for me, but I have written down Dark Ages, Devil's Reign.
Okay.
Beta Ray Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I've written down, I think.
You didn't put down the Hulk?
Oh, yeah, the Hulk. Oh, that's a good one.
It's a Hulk.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't really put down nominees. I just put down what I think.
Okay.
What I would throw into the mix.
I absolutely know what the best one is. Let's just go out and say it. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Beta Ray Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, easily.
Absolutely.
Daniel Warren Johnson at his goddamn prime.
What a fucking ride, Nathan.
Yeah. And like the other stuff, very good. Those are definitely series that I recommend
all
you check out.
All great things that I didn't think about and
but
worthy
this,
contenders.
If you have not read Murder Falcon by Daniel Warren Johnson, it's great. But if you have read Murder Falcon and haven't read Beta Bill, imagine Murder Falcon, but in the Marvel Universe.
That's exactly what it is.
And it's fucking unbelievable.
A little less metal, but still pretty
and
metal.
And it's like in the it's like in continuity, but like you don't need to know continuity at the same time, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
Like it's during like King in Black, like when this book came about. So like there's like one panel where there's like a venomized Fin Fang Foom. And
yeah.
Like, that's so fun.
Big spoilers, Nathan.
How fun is that?
That's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
And then there's another part where there's an interaction between Thor and Beta Ray Bill that happened in Donny Cates' Thor book that Dana Warren Johnson touches on in this book, but it feels so natural.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then on top of that being like in continuity, it's about like dealing with body image issues and like anxiety and shit like that.
Yeah, I can
and, like,
relate
your
to
own
that.
Like personal demons.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable. I love it.
Yeah. Clear winner for both of us.
Yeah, shout out
great,
Daniel Warren Johnson.
Great book. Yeah, we'll tweet out all the winners in case you don't want to listen.
I don't know. Yeah, we'll have a big list.
All right, next we got best new DC book, Nathan.
Okay, we have
The Human Target.
Human Target. I've put down Teen Titans Academy.
Okay. Do you have any other ones?
I think those are the ones.
You know, if there is an award for best DC idea, it'd be Task Force X or Task Force Z.
Yeah. Because those are two ones, too.
That'd be great.
Task Force Z.
I just read the first issue. I'm like, you know, I don't think this is as fun as I thought it'd be.
You know what?
But the idea is fantastic.
I had the exact same thought. I was like, I don't know.
I didn't buy number two, and that was it.
I built a better story, I think, in my head of what I thought it was going to be than what it actually was. But I don't know what I was expecting either at the same time.
I think they did what we expected, but just wasn't that exciting, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Exactly. But yeah, I think I would put The Human Target in there as well.
Like, just three short issues came out at the end of the year, just stole the show.
Very much convinced me that this is going to be a very, very important, like, DC book to come.
Definitely. And I think I'll definitely look back on this one for years
and just think it's just so fun
and give it to my kids.
Yeah. And like Greg Smallwood putting out work that I've never seen from him.
Unreal.
Yeah.
We'll probably talk about him a little later.
We will talk about him. Independent series. I have a couple.
Okay. What's your nominees?
My nominees are Geiger. We have Jonah and the Unpossible Monsters.
You didn't even finish Geiger.
I didn't. I just put it on there. Just to have it on there, right?
Okay.
Ultra Mega.
Okay, yeah.
TMNT Last Ronin.
That's also a good choice.
And Black Hammer Reborn. Those are the ones that I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah, what about Dead Dog's Bite?
Dead Dog's Bite's on there, sure. Yeah, he's on there too.
So what do you think should be the winner?
Honestly, I really like Jonah and the Unpossible Monsters just because it's just like a simple, fun book. And it's Chris Zombie.
It is a simple, fun book, and I do enjoy reading it. But I think with the, like I kind of like a plot to be like a little intricate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair.
And so that's why.
What did you put?
I didn't put that on. I put down Dead Dog's Bite.
Okay.
Not just because we had Tyler Boss on the pod.
That was very cool.
Which was very cool. It was like a very enjoyable book.
It is.
And I thought it was like up there with like Pulp.
Yeah.
You know, as far as really solid all together graphic novels, you know?
Yeah. And it's always good to see. I think the thing with both of the books is that it's pretty much like one person's singular vision.
Yeah. Which is
where it's like a writer artist doing basically everything on the book.
Mm-hmm.
And that creates a very compelling story.
Right.
I guess I didn't think of Dead Dog's Bite because I picked it up so early on in the year. Like I picked up the first issue and yeah. I almost thought it was like a 2020 book. But yeah, I think we should probably go Dead Dog's Bite.
Yeah, I mean, I like Last Ronin a lot. That was like a great concept and first issue. I didn't finish it, so I'm
I haven't finished it either, so I'd be hesitant to choose.
I just
it.
Have one issue left and I feel like that'll probably be the best issue just to see how it actually wraps up.
Yeah.
But
I think it's I think it's cool that TMNT can have this like spark of energy, like still in like the franchise, and you have this crazy idea that's not necessarily like in continuity, but
which I didn't
a
even
super cool idea,
which I've never even like thought of, you know?
Yeah.
Like how does this end?
Exactly.
But you just threw it out there before it even gets to that point.
Yeah, exactly. So TMNT is a good runner up as well. But yeah, let's go Dead Dog's Bite. Tyler Boss really just very impressive with his first sort of four issue sort of writer artist story like that.
Definitely. So then I got best trade that we've reviewed.
Okay, I've got a bunch on here. I just like went through the whole last year and I wrote down a bunch that I really enjoyed.
Yeah, there's so many. We picked some good-ass books. So many. It was 52 books, Nathan.
Yeah.
That's most of our pod.
Starting the year, we had Chew, the new Chew with John Layman, which was very fun to have him on.
Very fun, yeah.
We did Black Bolt. I Hate Fairyland. Very fun book.
Yep, it's
we
up there.
Invincible.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about that, and I think it'd be unfair to pick that as a winner for me, because it's like my favorite book ever.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, just...
That wins the Daniel Award in your heart.
And I Hate Fairyland is like one of the few ones that I've like continued with.
Yeah.
So that also gives it some points.
Yep. Superman, Last Son of Krypton I put in there, just because I was so impressed with, I think, how good it was. I didn't expect much from it. Sex Criminals. I like that episode that we did with, not only because we had Chip, but it's one of the only ones what we've done like we finished the story, you know.
Yeah,
a lot of our episodes we start off just with the first trade because that's what we do.
Yeah,
we kind of dip our toes into the story, but this one we ended it and we got to talk with Chip about that, which I think is really cool.
Sure.
Silver Coin, love Silver Coin.
Mm-hmm.
I still obsess over that story and I think it's cool. And then Immortal Iron Fist, which is like maybe my favorite Marvel thing, like Marvel story.
Okay,
so I put that in there as well.
My winner that are the one that I thought was Jupiter's Legacy, because I just thought that was such a surprising...
Oh, okay.
Like, I knew it was a Mark Miller book and it was going to be good, but I just didn't understand how much I would enjoy it, mm-hmm. you know? And just, like, the concept was, like, really big for me.
Yeah, so, it is very enjoyable.
So, I think... And then I have, like... I bought the rest of the series and got some of it for Christmas, so it's, like, I do intend on finishing it, so that's...
So, that's your pick?
Yeah, that'd be my pick, yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, of all the ones I listed, I really enjoyed I Hate Fairyland just because I know that's like a classic almost.
Yeah.
And it's another instance where like a writer artist is just doing, playing to their strengths and doing like a very imaginative story.
Definitely.
And kind of flipping the medium on its head too.
Definitely.
So I really enjoy that, but I do also really enjoy Jupiter's Legacy. Frank Quitely on it, which is nuts. You know, you
can't. One of the best.
One of the best.
Just seeing him on books is so nice, and I'm glad that he had such a large body of work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to see him in things and be able to still experience those that I haven't read.
Yeah. So between those two, what do you think we should we should go with for the official Trade Raiders winner.
I did think Fairland too. It's honestly flip of the coin, but I think I just lead more towards Jupiter's Legacy.
Okay. I think that of the two, I would be interested in reading more of I Hate Fairyland than I would of Jupiter's Legacy.
Okay.
But I know that I also know that Mark Miller also does good with long form stories.
And I think like the concepts in that were really cool. Like just like they're new, refreshing things that like I didn't really think about in like a superhero type book.
Yeah. Well, and you've read past the first trade on both of those. So I guess whichever one you find more interesting in the second trade, you should give the award to.
So I didn't read past. I've just read the first trade of Jupiter's.
Oh, okay.
So.
You just have the other ones. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. But you read past the first trade of I Hate Fairyland. So I guess, I don't know.
But so let's what go I've, Jupiter's. What, okay. Yeah, what I've read of Fairyland was not as strong as the first trade just because it's, you know, continuing. And I think when you read the first trade, it's just so refreshing and it's really cool.
Bit of shock value too.
Bit of shock value. So
okay. Yeah, we'll go Jupiter's Legacy.
Okay.
Okay. Interesting. Very good.
So then we have the best nacho series, Nathan. I would love to hear your
nominations. I think we should save that for last because I only have one.
Last? Okay, me too.
Okay. So can we do best writer?
Sure.
I've written a couple nominees just for the year, looking back on the year.
Of course.
These are all off the top of my head. So
yep.
not very surprising entries. But I have Jeff Lemire. This Same. Year he's done Primordial, Robin and Batman, Black Hammer, May's Book, The End of Gideon Falls, I think, was last year.
Okay.
And then Sweet Tooth.
I feel like he's even done more. And then like
he's done more than that, surely.
Yeah.
But those are the ones just off the top of the dome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tom Taylor, who's done Nightwing. He did Dark Ages this year. Superman, Son of Kal-El. The one where hates DC, but it's Medieval Ages now. Whatever that one's called. Swords of Steel. Something like that.
DC of Thrones.
DC of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Tom Taylor killed it this year. Tom King did Strange Adventures. He started Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. He started Human Target.
Was Rorschach started this year?
Rorschach didn't start this last year, but it ended this year.
Okay.
So I put that in there as well. Okay. Tom King also doing crazy stuff.
You said Human Target.
Yeah, I said Human Target. Okay. And then I put Donny Cates. He is continuing to do Thor. He did Hulk. He did King in Black. He ended his Venom run, and he was doing Crossover.
Mm-hmm,
so lots
mm-hmm.
of cool things there. So those are my nominees. But you think it should be Jeff Lemire?
Correct.
I think it should be Tom Taylor. And here's why. Jeff Lemire, obviously, operating at the top of his damn game, as always.
Uh-huh.
Primordial's great. I obsess over that book.
Mm-hmm.
I think May's book is good. I don't think you give it enough credit, although I haven't read the rest of it.
mm-hmm.
Black Hammer, everybody loves Black Hammer, right?
Yeah.
I think Tom Taylor he's operating at the top of his game. He's making the lists, but I think he's affecting more. I think he's made more of a big effect on comics this year. And okay. I say that because everybody loves Nightwing, you know, but also he wrote the story Superman, Son of Kal-El, which famously has made John Kent Superman a bisexual character.
Award isn't to the most influential comic writer.
Yeah, but like I think to me, both of them, Tom Taylor and Jeff Lemire, have like been doing an insane amount of comic books together. And I think that Tom Taylor's done Dark Ages, which is like a Marvel event, right? So like,
is it, or is it more like an Elseworlds?
It might be like an Elseworlds thing. Yeah, I guess
it is like a big thing.
It's like a big universe spanning like story though, which we haven't seen from Jeff Lemire. Maybe he doesn't want to do that, and that's cool. But I think like talking about comics in general, I think that this goes to Tom Taylor, but it's like neck and neck.
Yeah, it definitely is. Like
that scene from Cars, like the first race, and like Tom Taylor is sticking his metaphorical car tongue out to reach first place.
Right.
But that's what I think.
Okay, yeah, I think that's a good pick.
Okay. All right, best writer, Tom Taylor. Congrats.
Good job. Yeah, you don't... Okay, no, none of these winners get anything except for like the Twitter shout-out, really.
Yeah.
And then the pod shout-out. Like, we don't have a physical award to give.
Actually,
maybe in the future.
You know what? If you are a winner of this award and you reach out to us on Twitter, I'll 3D print choose something.
Yeah, dude, we should make 3D printed Traders Awards.
Yeah, I'll design a Trade Raiders Award.
It'll just say TWA on it.
It'll be our logo. Because I've been wanting to do that anyway and sell it as merch.
That seems really hard.
It wouldn't be that hard, trust me.
Okay. Whatever you say.
If somebody actually listening to this wants something, I'll print it, paint it, and ship it. Okay?
All right.
That's my promise.
Ball's in your court.
Yep.
I think
Ball's
you should
in
make
your
them.
Court.
I think you should make one anyway. We could put it like right here.
Also, if you come on an episode. No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to do that.
For us.
You don't have to do that. That'd be cool, though. Let's talk about your books. They're cool. Next award, Daniel.
We got Best Penciler.
Okay, I've written a couple nominees.
Okay.
Liam Sharp did finish Green Lantern. He did Batman Reptilian. He's part of Tom King's Batman Catwoman series. He filled in for a couple issues.
Sure.
Jesse Lonergan, he did Faster, and I'm a huge fan of his, so I put him on there because I love him.
Of course.
Chris Somney, he did Jonna in The Impossible Monsters, Firepower.
True.
And I really like his Inktober, even though this isn't the inker category. I like his Inktober.
Okay. I think he might be a better candidate for best inker than...
I don't think so.
Okay.
Jorge Jimenez, I love that dude, and he did lots of Batman this year with lots of new Batman characters. That's the only reason I would put him on there, because there's like Punchline, which is like another Harley Quinn, but Joker's new girlfriend kind of deal.
Right.
Couple new Batman characters, tons of redesigns for like Scarecrow. Scarecrow did like a really cool redesign. And then I have Dana Warren Johnson for Beta Ray Bill, and he did like a Wonder Woman Black Label book this year.
Okay.
So who did you put? Did you put anybody in that list?
Just off of, so when I think about this, I think about who do I just have as like top tier artists, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And who had something come out this year. And I had a couple people that came to mind, but I put them in other categories.
Sure.
That I thought they'd fit better. But I know this creator didn't do a ton of stuff because, you know, it's kind of hard to do a lot in a single year.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my favorite artists is Mikael Janin.
Okay, yeah.
And from Superman and the Authority.
Yep.
Just because he's still on top of his game.
He really is.
Doing his badass shit. And I think his artwork is some of the best that we have in current comics.
Okay.
So that's why I threw that in there.
Is that the only thing he did this year?
Potentially. Wait, is he doing
I think he
Batcat?
Did. He's not in Batcat. That's Clayman.
Oh, okay. Clayman's good too.
Yeah.
So that was just what I would put. You definitely had a ton of great candidates. So what would you put as your like number one?
Dana Warren Johnson, honestly.
That's although a good answer.
I do think Liam Sharp did a lot of really interesting things this year, especially with Batman Reptilian. That dude's going insane. He's like, I think he's really channeling his Dave McKean from like Batman Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
Like that level of artistry and like complication that I just cannot wrap my head around is definitely going into Batman Reptilian.
Did you put Andrew Sorrentino in there?
I did not, but that's a great candidate as well.
That would be like maybe my number two.
I think that would be my number two, actually, too. I can't believe I didn't think of that. Because he's done Batman and the Impostor, too.
Yeah.
And Primordial and Ended Gideon.
Yep.
So that guy's insane.
You know, I think we should give Daniel Warren Johnson already got an award.
He did.
You know, so no double dip in here.
But, like, it's so cool.
He's not Billie Eilish.
His work is so cool.
Yeah.
If there was a Billie Eilish comics this year, it might be Daniel Warren Johnson. But Andrew, I think we should give it to Andrew Sorrentino. Andrew Sorrentino. He also... and. Not because he replied to my tweet this week. we'll get to that in news.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The only reason I'm not... maybe I didn't put him on the list because he doesn't like pineapple on pizza, I found out.
No, he's Italian. That's like the final truth. I love him for that.
That's true. More on that in the news section. But yeah, let's give it to Andrew Sorrentino. He's been fucking insane this year.
Congratulations. Yeah, his shit was absolutely bonkers.
His shit...
just Google his shit. It's insane.
Or
read his books. Read all his books.
And it's not shit. It's great. But like that, some of the pages on Primordial have been enough for me to be like just stop reading the book and be like, holy fuck.
My little brain cannot comprehend what he's drawing.
Like I wanted to talk to somebody about it.
Kinda, look at this.
Kind of level. I'm like, are you shitting me right now? And like, yeah. So Andrew Sorrentino for sure.
Okay, cool.
Good call.
All right.
Best inker. I don't know a lot of inkers that are just inkers. So I put JP Mayer, who's on Venom and anything else Ryan Stegman does.
Okay.
Danny Mickey is on Batman right now, but he's done a couple other trades that we've done. I don't know if you're familiar.
Okay.
And then Sanford Green is on Bitterroot, and I think that he has a very distinct style.
Oh, okay.
But if I were to choose one, probably JP Mayer, just because anything he does looks really cool.
I agree.
So
and we also reviewed one of his books.
We reviewed Venom, and we talked about how cool it was and how much he was balancing a lot of the darkness sort of in that book.
Yeah, a lot of black in that.
Yeah, a lot of black, but you still manage to know what's going on because you could still see all the figures and everything. So, very cool.
I agree. I just thought of like Jonathan Glapion or whatever.
Jonathan Glapion.
Glapion.
Because like, he been on though this
We Have
year?
Demons, I think, but that's like one issue. So
true.
And then whatever.
True. We should have a best comiXology book as an impromptu.
Ooh. I already know the winner.
Impromptu category.
For sure.
Okay, we'll do that after best colorist.
Okay.
Written a few. Laura Allred. She did get an Eisner this year for X-Ray Robot.
The book we're going to read this. She got it this year for a book last year.
What?
She got it last year.
Oh, no. I thought it was like this most recent because she got it for like Bowie as well.
Right. Those are books that came out in 2020 and she got the award in 2021, Nathan.
Oh, I see. Okay. So no Laura Allred. You already got your Eisner. Get out of here. Mitch Gerads. because I think he does very, very good in coloring. He did Strange Adventures this year. He's working on a new book.
Yep.
He also did Batman Black and White, but I can't really give him credit for that for best colorist.
So who did the coloring on Doc Shaner's part?
Doc Shaner.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Okay.
That really plays to his.
I have Christian Ward.
Yeah. Killer.
Killer colorist. He did do some books this year, not just covers, but he did tons of covers.
Oh, covers helps.
But he did Batman Secret Files, the one about Poison Ivy. Secret Gardener, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
I have Jordy Belair, who did Nice House on the Lake, Black Widow, Barbalian, and Batman the Imposter.
Okay.
And then also Greg Smallwood for Human Target. And then I think he did a Carnage Black, White, and Blood book.
Yeah, I put Greg Smallwood because I think that's some of the most impressive colors I've seen all year.
It is, and it's like such a vibe, you know?
Yeah. He got vibe points, and just like, it's not colored how you'd think it'd be colored. You know, it's all, every page is so fresh and so different.
It feels like just like an old school TV show, but with like a, but it's magical. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, that was the first thing I thought of.
Like, it feels like a 60s TV show, but more Technicolor.
Yeah, yeah,
with like exactly. a little sprinkle magic in there. Like, I don't know how to, and like this most recent issue, which I read, I'll talk about on the pull list, but Green Lantern's in it, balance those greens real well.
Oh, okay.
Yep. But I do want to say that my favorite work Jordy Belair's ever done is on Nice House on the Lake.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Like, insane.
Yeah, that book was like everywhere on like top 10 lists of 2021.
Yeah, and it's really good.
Yeah, definitely.
But I picked up the book, I looked at it, and I was like, damn, this art is good, but damn, this coloring is like unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So I do think that Jordy Belair would be my top pick if I didn't have Greg Smallwood on here. So I think we should give it to Greg Smallwood.
And honorable mention to Matt Wilson.
Yeah, Matt Wilson, always doing fun stuff.
One of my favorites.
He's like the most...
Great on firepower.
I think he's like the most reliable, like, amazing colorist.
Yeah, he's definitely my favorite all time.
Yeah.
But... yeah, this year, just want to mention Greg Smallwood, I think, is the way to go.
Yep.
All right.
Then we have Impromptu category, best Comixology series.
Okay.
So what do we got here, Daniel?
I got to think. We got all that Scott Snyder stuff.
Okay, let's name as many as we can, okay? We have Demons.
We have Clear.
Clear. We have the one about the, he likes horror movies. something about the ghoul. What is it called?
Night of the Ghoul. Yep.
We have The All-Nighter by Chip Zdarsky. We have... Snow Angels came out this year.
Yep.
We have...
Did you read anything else that was...
No.
Comixology original?
I don't think so.
I think that's all we're like really aware of and have dabbled in.
I think so. Snow Angels, Night of the Ghoul,
Clear. And all those
cool,
I haven't even gone that Demons. Far, honestly.
Yeah, true. Snow Angels I did have a lot of fun with, though. I think that's a good book. I haven't read any of season 2.
Yeah, it's a good book, but I don't know if I would say it's TWA worthy.
Yeah. To me, I think...
No disrespect, but...
To me, I think the top two are Clear and The All-Nighter for me.
I think the answer is The All-Nighter, Nathan.
I think the answer is Clear, Daniel.
Clear?
Like, just with how fun that book is...
All right, you're right.
Like, there's some drama and Francis Manapul on a book. How do you manage that?
You know, this this category only has, like, a few nominees. It's just the shit that we've read.
Yeah.
There's not that many Comixology originals this year.
Yeah, well, I think there were a lot. There's one called... We Only Kill Each Other. That sounds fun. Memoria. Yeah. Self.
Yeah, there's definitely a ton of stuff, but it's like creators that I'm not familiar with.
Exactly.
And so it's like, I haven't really gone into it, but yeah, Clear is...
I still really enjoy Clear,
fantastic.
Though.
Fantastic.
Yeah. But All-Nighters, definitely check it out. Issue 4 just came out. What the heck?
Did it really? Oh, yeah.
I haven't read that. Love Chip. Can't wait to talk to him about All-Nighters.
Love Chip.
Whenever we get him on.
So.
Okay. So.
Congratulations, Scott Snyder and Francis Manapul.
Yes, exactly.
And then, Nathan,
we're not going to tag the best Nacho series, but...
Yeah, because it's kind of like saying, like, what's the worst book?
Trade Waiter's original best Nacho series. And let me just start by saying... Okay, let me explain what it is. But first off, obviously, anything that we name is better than anything that we could ever create. It just...
And it did start off really, really good. Like, the number one was fire.
Yeah, so a Nacho series is a book that starts off and you're like, oh my God, this is so cool. This is going to be such a great series. And then as you continue reading, it kind of loses that interest and gets very, very like stale to you or emotionally or whatever very quickly. Just like a plate of nachos, when you first get it, you take that first bite. It's got everything you want on it. It's got the beans. It's got the beef. It's got the cheese. Maybe a jalapeno.
Bacon sometimes.
You eat it and you're like, oh my God, this is the best thing of my entire life. I can't wait to keep eating it. And then you keep eating it. And as you go, you start to eat off the toppings very quickly, and then you realize you're just kind of left with some very soggy chips.
They're all broken. There's nothing on them.
None that are a good size.
They're just chips.
So a nacho series, like Nachos, a book that starts off great and then kind of just diminishes in value to you, which I think happens quite a bit. And I'm still reading this book, but for me, the answer is Moon Knight.
Okay.
Gotcha. Because I read it. I read the first issue and I was like, great. Tons of cool ideas. Moon Knight looks great. I love this. And then as we've kept going, those ideas are just kind of like there, but they haven't really...
Scared the shit out of me.
That was scary. I don't know what happened. There's a demon trying to get in here.
There's just wind from downstairs.
Yeah. So as I kept reading it, it's just like the ideas are like kind of cool. And then he's been introducing new characters that I'm not super crazy about because he hasn't done much with them in my eyes. And it's just like kind of been stale. So I've read the most recent issue this week that I'll talk about on the pull list, but I'm giving it one more before I drop it.
Okay, fair enough.
So what's your Nacho series?
So this is something that we both read, so we can potentially agree on it.
Sure.
But then again, I feel like you like it more than I do. So I gave this a shot out of your recommendation.
Okay.
And I didn't even finish the book. I dropped off of it after the second issue.
Teen Titans?
Teen Titans Academy, Nathan.
Really?
Yes. You know, great first idea. It's awesome. All the different tiers of Teen Titans, the Titans, the Teen Titans, the Teen Titans Academy. It's a lot of fun dialogue, new characters, love that, bringing back old characters.
You don't
characters.
Like Gorilla Greg?
Love that. Gorilla Greg, best character, new character of 2021, easily. But
what about the Rag Girl? What's her name?
I don't, Rag Girl?
Rag Girl,
probably.
Maybe. Ribbon, I can't remember. Okay.
But that novelty, that like kind of excitement for it.
Does wear off.
It wears off, and I'm so uninterested in the story after that, because it's just like after the second issue, it's like, oh, maybe the Red X will show up, and who's the Red X kind of thing. So I really don't know.
I think that part was interesting, but I will agree with you on it just because it gets like three issues in, and then it's like, do you want a Suicide Squad crossover? No, I don't. Do you want two or three additional issues about these three characters that haven't been a part of the book up to this point? Even though they're drawn by Steve Lieber and it's a fun issue, I didn't really want that.
Yeah.
Like, it just felt like the ideas were there, and then they were kind of diminishing. I can kind of feel that. Although I do like Red X, and I didn't want to know who Red X was.
I think it's just nostalgia.
It just got interrupted. It's like you're eating nachos, and then someone dumps water all over him. So...
it's not saying it's watering it down, but it's just, like, not to the storyline when it has those crossovers, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess so. I can agree with you on that.
Okay.
I think Teen Titans Academy is probably a better book in my eyes than Moon Knight, but I think Teen Titans Academy is probably more of a Nacho series than Moon Knight is.
So did you stop reading Academy?
I don't have the most recent issue, no.
Okay. Are you going to buy it? Honestly.
I don't think so. I mean, I think
so.
I
that's
have,
something that you've already dropped off of because I think it is of how much of a Nacho. You're committed to Moon Knight, and so you're still
right.
With it.
You're right, and I'm not happy. So best Nacho series, Teen Titans Academy. But I still don't think Moon Knight's great so far.
That concludes the Trade Writers Awards.
Hold on. I'm looking up Teen Titans Academy. I'm going to tell you where I dropped off.
I mean, what was the last issue?
So it's last issue was number 10. And the last one I read was probably issue 6 or 7.
Okay.
So I've been off for a while now. I didn't even realize.
That means you weren't even looking for it, Nathan.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't. But so, yeah, you're right.
So congratulations to that creative team.
We're not going to tag you in the tweets.
The very first winner of this award ever in any.
And let me just say, I think it's much better than anything I could ever produce. It's
great concept.
Probably certifiably pretty good book. Lots of people like it. I saw it on lists this year.
Great artwork.
Like
comicbook.com
lists or whatever.
Exactly.
So
what is
that's obviously more credible than us. And if you still want an award 3D printed, I will make that if Steve Lieber or whoever else is on part of the series.
Yeah, you could have that on your trophies shelf. Yeah. Best Nacho series.
Tim Sheridan or Rafa Sandoval. You're a great artist, by the way. I love your Green Lantern stuff. If you're listening and you want an award,
if you want to come on and defend yourself.
If you want to come on and we can argue.
You will review the whole trade.
Yeah, if you think that this is not a Nacho series and it's more of a pizza series or something.
Wow.
We will have that argument.
I mean, I guess pizza series, the last slice left is normally the smallest one, you know, has the less toppings.
This metaphor does not work in the realm of comic books.
Anyway.
Okay, so
Congratulations to all the winners of the Trade Waiters Awards.
Yeah, good year of comics, I would say.
Good year of comics.
Let's do another good year.
Here's to another one.
Here's more Nacho series.
Anyway, Nathan, so...
let's do the news, unless you have something else.
No.
The news.
Did you say talk about the time codes or whatever?
Oh, no, I didn't.
In case you guys didn't know, there's time codes for different segments and shit.
Yeah, we'll put the 2021 Trade Waiters Awards as the time code for this episode, in case you don't care.
Sure will.
But we'll also have the rest of the stuff, like the news, the book that we're reading this week, which is X-Ray Robot, the back matter for it. Did you look at the back matter for this book?
Briefly.
Okay, tune in for back matter, because I think it'll be really funny. Okay. And then the pull list, where we talk about the things that I read this week and also what we watched. So...
indeed.
Anyway, let's do the news. So the news, Daniel.
Not a lot of news.
Another dead week, but some fun stuff happened.
Nathan.
Yes.
You saw just downstairs that there's like a Halo series coming to Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
I was going to ask if you've seen it. Apparently you haven't.
I heard that there's something in development, but they seem to have way more.
That's been like filmed. That for 10 years.
Yeah.
But this, there's like actors in it that I've seen, and apparently it's coming early 2022.
Yeah.
Which I imagine, since I've seen commercials about it for like ever.
So. I'm going to look up to see if there's a release date. Right,
I already
now.
Looked it up. It says early 2022.
That's it? That's all I get?
Yep.
That's shitty.
And then the commercial just says 2022, so they could be
when,
full
Daniel,
of shit.
Right now?
I have no idea.
Do I need to sign up for Paramount Plus right now?
I think that'd be a good signing on show.
I'm only going to get it for that.
If you look around, there's some good stuff in there.
Okay, maybe.
Because I think like The Office and
no,
like,
Peacock.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Fuck. Paramount Plus is shit. And I don't even know why they call it Paramount Plus. It's such a mouthful. Why not just
Paramount Plus?
Para Plus.
Much better.
I like it already.
Daniel.
Yes.
Image is coming out with a book called Official Image Timeline. It's a one shot for Image Comics 30th anniversary. And one of the co-founders, Jim Valentino, details the company's history, good stuff and bad stuff, apparently, and the most comprehensive chronology of the company ever published. It features rarely seen covers, photos, milestones, and behind-the-scenes events from the company's marvelous beginnings to the present. This is the chronicle. All future histories will be judged against. I don't know what that sentence means, but there's like a 30th anniversary roundup book coming out. It's
nice.
Pretty cool.
That sounds cool. Yeah. I can't believe it's the 30th, because I feel like it was like only a couple years ago.
We hit like the 25th and everything was like a quarter, right?
Yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah, that felt like 2 years ago.
But 2 years ago is when the pandemic started. So
maybe it was 2 years before that, which seems about more right.
4 years, yeah.
Yeah. So pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'll pick that up.
Yeah, I'll check that out.
Nathan.
Yes.
I know you're really looking forward to this, but unfortunately the Sony Pictures movie Morbius has been delayed to April 1st.
Absolutely.
And I bet they're still going to fuck with us and be like, April Fools, it's not out.
I know. Yeah. Like, April Fools, we delayed it 3 more months. Like,
yeah. I was like, I was kind of looking forward to reading like a Morbius book and then just being able to.
I was not. Are you kidding? Maybe there's like a good Morbius book.
There's like a good Spider-Man book that has Morbius as the villain, which I would be looking forward to.
All right, cool. We could do that.
And think about it, Nathan, with
it's supposed to come out like this month, right?
Yeah, the 28th.
And then they delayed it 3 months.
Yeah.
Must be a good sign.
Yeah, Nathan, because think about it. With the success of No Way Home, spoilers for No Way Home, maybe Andrew Garfield is in Morbius.
Potentially.
He's in the Sony universe, and then we get Amazing Spider-Man 3.
But isn't Vulture in it? So, like, isn't it?
I don't know, Nathan.
Supposed to be, who knows?
But then there's pictures of Spider-Man where it says, like, murderer on it. And then
same
Andrew
Spider-Man.
Garfield was talking about how he stopped pulling his punches and shit. So, I don't know. I don't know. No one knows. You know, some people know. The people who made it.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
Other than that, no one knows.
Okay. Interesting.
Exciting stuff.
Daniel. Trade Waiters Award winning artist Andrea Sorrentino teased the beginning of the Bone Orchard Mythos, a prelude that's going to be coming out on Free Comic Book Day this year.
Is that going to be in May?
Yes. Yeah. And so the new horror universe will start. Yeah, May, with the Image Comics gold title for Free Comic Book Day. It's going to feature a self-contained exclusive 25 pages of story set in the universe of Bone Orchard Mythos that will serve as a first taste of the horrors that lurks in the dark.
That's cool, because it seemed kind of weird that they announced something like a year in advance.
Yeah.
Because like when normally when they announce things, it's like only like 3 months out or whatever.
Yeah, this one was like
So it'd be cool to kind of get excited for it, you know,
mm-hmm.
and have an idea what it's going to be about.
Kind of as part of that announcement and for the new year, he did an AMA, an Ask Me Anything, for those that don't know.
Oh, correct.
And write your questions here.
I thought it was American Music Awards.
Nope. It's Ask Me Anything. And he tweeted that out. And then 11 minutes later, I saw it. So I was like, oh, my God, I have to shoot my shot. And so I said, do you think a hot dog is a sandwich?
Yeah, I was like, oh, my God.
And
did you say that to Charles Soule, too?
Yeah, I did. He didn't answer me.
Yeah.
And Andrea Sorrentino did respond. And he said, I'm Italian. Talk about pizza with me. But before he even responded, I was like, but also, Primordial is insane. Did you take... Oh, I fucked up this tweet. I just realized. I meant to ask, did you draw inspiration from any artists when doing the different plot settings? Like, we said that part of it looks like Frank Quietly, part of it looks like David Aja, and then part of it's just like his normal style.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm constantly influenced by artists and things I watch. I know many saw parallels with Frank Quietly, and he said, that I love. But the truth is, that style comes more from the French line, Lynn Claire artists I've seen in Angoulême. So he's very French. I don't know what that sentence means.
Yeah.
But it's not Frank Quietly, apparently. It's more French.
It's like an artist French that he artists. Saw in a French city or something.
Yeah, I guess. And then... he said he used the same style in Gideon Falls too, albeit it was colored in a different way. So very cool insight into that book. I really like.
Definitely. And then he said that pineapples don't belong on pizza.
Yeah. I wasn't going to mention that.
Well, he didn't say that,
wrong.
But he just had a,
he had a gif, and it was Rigby from the regular show.
Yeah.
Making a disgusted face. Could mean anything. It means that he's like disgustingly passionate about pineapple on pizza.
I was very excited to see that.
So, yeah, I only asked him that because he said, ask me about pizza. And I'm like, what's the most controversial take on pizza? And it's obviously pineapple on pizza.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
I think it's fine. I think anybody that doesn't like it is weak or hasn't tried it.
I've definitely tried it. And if there's other pizzas, I'm definitely moving towards those.
I think
if someone said I'm getting pizza, I'm like, fuck yeah. And then they don't tell me what they get and it ends up being pineapple. I'm going to shoot them.
Mm, interesting.
Because like,
I think it works because pineapple tastes good hot for some reason.
Sure.
And
but
then it works well on pizza.
I don't think it works with the cheese that much.
Sure.
I think like meats work better with the cheese.
I think that pineapple works good with ham, that particular meat.
Yeah, that's a good mix.
I wouldn't do like
just do something else.
Pineapple
with those
and pepperoni. That sounds weird. Pineapple and ham, though.
You might be onto something.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So anyway, more news.
tweet at us. What do you think it belongs on pizza?
It does.
Anyway.
Incredible Hulk comic book auction smashes record at $490,000. It is the Incredible Hulk number one, graded at 9.0.
Oh, when he's like gray.
When he's like gray.
Yeah.
And it sold for $490,000, a record for that particular book.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Nathan.
Published in 1962. Imagine having a 9.0 of something printed over 50 years ago.
That's insane.
Or about 50 years ago. Yeah, insane. Most of my books now aren't 9.0, and I got them in like the last 5 years.
Nathan.
Yeah.
I counted it out.
Okay.
And there, this only includes things that have set dates, but there are 17 things that are being adapted from comic books this year.
Okay. Let's run through them.
Those are all books that we're going to read for the new things. Here, let me pull it up.
This year?
This year.
So there, can I try and guess five?
You probably know five. Hold on.
This is including like Marvel and DC?
Yeah, like everything.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Never mind. Yeah, read through them.
We got Peacemaker, Secret Invasion, Moon Knight, Season 2 of Invincible.
Not this year. That's supposed to be 2023.
Well, this is a bad post. Sandman, The Boys.
Oh, yeah, Sandman. The Boys, of course.
Harley Quinn is coming for another season.
Oh, great.
Batgirl, Black Adam, Thor, Love and Thunder, The Batman, Doctor Strange, Wakanda Forever is supposed to be this year. The Flash, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, or Across the Spider-Verse, Aquaman.
Mm.
Morbius, like you said.
Hopefully, unless it gets delayed more.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
Sonic has comics.
Yes.
Yes. The League of Super Pets, Nathan.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that'll be good.
Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special is supposed to be coming in December.
Mm. Okay.
And then Miss Marvel is supposed to come out this year, but no date. She-Hulk has no date. Obi-Wan Kenobi has no date. And then the Cassian Andor series has no date.
That's supposed to come out this
year.
But
these are all supposed to come out this year.
Is there a Cassian book?
Yeah.
Cool.
Or was it a one-shot? I think it was a book.
Might have been a one-shot.
It was a mini-series, if anything.
Okay.
But I remember seeing it on the shelves. I think it was Andor and then like probably K2SO or something.
Okay, cool.
So A lot of stuff. We're going to have a busy-ass year. We're barely going to be able to pick things that we want to read.
If you could watch only one of those things, what would it be? And why would it be Morbius?
Damn. Probably Kenobi. I think that'd be the most important thing.
Ooh, that's a good one.
But then again, I've read that Jason Aaron run, and I think it would just be that.
I think it's going to be Thor for me if I had to pick like one thing.
Oh, yeah. That'd be kick-ass.
Yeah. Just because, obviously, the last one, very fun. I loved that run of Jason Aaron books. Have you even gotten to the part where Jane Foster's Thor?
No.
That Jason Aaron run?
I have not gotten far on that.
It's lots of fun still.
Yeah, no, I bet it's incredible.
And so I'm really interested what the Thor Odinson part of that story is going to be if Jane Foster becomes Thor in this story. And like there's only one Thor.
Can there be two Mjolnirs?
Sure. I mean, like Mjolnir makes Jane Foster Thor, but Thor is still like a god. So, like, he's still kind of doing his own thing. And also, he has, like, Stormbreaker in, like, the context of the MCU.
Well,
so
Mjolnir was, like, destroyed.
But Mjolnir gives... The material that makes Mjolnir gives him, like, the thunder powers.
I thought... Well, it seemed like in Ragnarok, he like, kind of established that he didn't need it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he doesn't need it.
Because he was doing all kinds of thunder shit without it.
But he likes it. It's a good pal.
And then, in Endgame, he got Stormbreaker. And so, I'm like, I thought you didn't need this shit, but... Yeah. I guess he did.
We'll see. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to handle it in the movie. But the God Butcher is going to be in it.
Gore?
Gore?
Be killer. Very Can't fun. Wait. Christian Bale, Nathan, are you shitting me?
Yeah.
Can you think of a better cast? No.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe I didn't have anybody.
Yeah. He seems like
he kind of looks like Gore.
Just get him shirtless, or, put some noodles on his head.
Or who's the dude who did V for Vendetta?
I don't know.
Or he was also in like The Matrix. He was like the agent.
Keanu Reeves.
No. He had that face. Oh, the guy who played Red Skull.
Lawrence Fishburne.
No, dude.
Yeah. You're talking about...
I keep thinking Viggo Mortensen, but that's not right. It's a weird name.
What does it start with?
I don't know. Red Skull actor.
Starts with...
Oh, H.
Harold.
Yeah, the terrible Harold.
What's the second one letter?
U.
What's his name?
Hugo Weaving.
Hugo Weaving, of course.
How many H-U names do you know?
I don't know. You Two. Hit me with U and that threw me right off.
It's Hugh. It's Hugo and Hugh.
I don't know. I was like, hum. So I got, anyway, that's the end of the news, I think, right? You don't have anything else?
No, I got some more stuff.
Oh, okay.
Nathan, I'm really excited about this news. Star Wars is pulling a Star Wars.
What does that mean?
So there's a phase two of the High Republic, which will be 150 more years behind.
Oh my gosh.
Star Wars The High Republic Phase 1.
They're doing a prequel?
A prequel
to to the prequel universe?
No, a prequel to the pre-prequel.
Wow.
Yeah. Cuz I guess High Republic is 200 years before Phantom Menace, and then
this next one's going to be 350 years before the Phantom Menace.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? How old is the universe?
long time ago, far, far away. I mean, I don't know, infinite amount of years. That's like crazy. I don't know if they can go back to the Star Wars Big Bang.
So
what's
the point of this one? Is Charles Soule going to be on it?
I don't know.
Is it a comic book thing or is it a novel thing?
Probably both.
Okay, interesting.
So it might get like a Phase 2 manga and a Phase 2 comic.
I love when Star Wars is the Star Wars.
only right now, but yeah, pretty exciting. So I ran into this article looking for news. Did you know that Skybound purchased the publishing rights for Transformers and G.I. Joe?
No. Recently?
Like in December.
I just saw that there was some sort of Transformers Beast Wars thing that's supposed to be coming out. Is that through Image?
No. I don't know when they're able to like publish things. Mm. I think they're kind of wrapping up things and then they'll be able to get it. But yeah, they'll be getting the rights to those things. Because I guess Robert Kirkman's like a big fan of those things.
So he's just like, let's make some comics of those.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I guess he doesn't really like what they're doing at IDW, but...
They're doing some funky stuff, but they always do. They're IDW.
Yeah, so I just thought that was really interesting.
That is cool.
Because, like, Skybound's really, like, indie stuff, new ideas, not really, like, properties.
Yeah.
But I thought this is super interesting.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll see what they do with that. I mean, I'm confident it'll be something cool.
Yeah, so maybe Robert Kirkman doing, like, a miniseries or something. I can't imagine he'd be, like, the main writer.
I don't think
anything,
he would,
but
imagine... What are some good Image people? Dana Warren Johnson on some G.I. Joe?
Yeah.
Or he draws really good mechs, actually.
Yeah, he'd do a great mech.
Yeah, he'd do a great Transformers. So, it's very interesting.
I think, like, kind of most creators, like, at the big two have done some indie stuff. And, like, imagine, Skybound isn't necessarily everything at Image.
Yeah.
But, oh, dude.
Like, James Herron?
I don't know if this would fit, but Brian K. Vaughan, because Skybound is Saga, I think. Or Saga's through Skybound, I think.
I think so.
So, interesting. Lots of good stuff.
We'll see.
We will see. Anyway, let's get into the book that we read this week, Nathan. Yes, what did we read?
We read X-Ray Robots by Michael Allred, Laura Allred, and Nate Picos.
There he is.
It is Nate Picos, once again. Dark Horse book that Laura Allred won an Eisner for coloring this book amongst, not just this book specifically, but it was also like Bowie.
It was like her body of work that year.
Yeah.
But the colors on this are actually very, very good.
Unbelievably groovy, Daniel. It's very as groovy as groovy gets.
The grooviest, for sure.
This book is crazy.
Absolutely.
And it really plays into the strengths of Mike and Laura Allred, because I had a blast reading it.
I think they were like, what would be the most fun to do? And then we'll make a story around it. They probably did the Marvel method, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly. Like, it's just a crazy book about timelines getting fucked up and we got to fix them. So, really fun book. Honestly, I picked up the first issue. I have the Chris Somni cover, I remember, just looking at the back matter, and it's a very fun one. But yeah, Mike Allred is always a for sure bet when you want like a just like good comic booking, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's...
This is an artist built for comics.
Absolutely. I think he definitely pays tribute to what comics used to be and then does it in like a fresh new kind of way.
Yeah, exactly.
And it makes it the most recognizable art, I think, in comics.
Yeah, he's the best way to tap into like
retro kind of comics.
Retro funky
but
comics.
Making it look fun and new and something interesting.
And it does look modern and new, so it's very cool. We've read one of his books, I, Zombie, before.
Correct.
And very fun book. That one is as well. Mm-hmm. We're going to read his book, Dupe, at some point. It's going to happen. So.
Absolutely.
But yeah, let's kind of just jump right in. It's also a very quick read.
I honestly didn't expect this to be like a time travel book.
I didn't either, and I read the first issue, so...
Yeah, I was reading this. I didn't know what I was expecting. I thought they just built a robot, and then they're gonna fuck with it or something.
Yeah.
And then...
To be fair, they did, so...
They sure did.
But yeah, basically the whole first issue is kind of purposefully confusing, so I'm gonna just kind of keep it pretty general. But Max Wilding is a scientist doctor dude... Who's developing a robot that was initially for...
Is it Wilding or Wilding?
Wilding? Probably Wilding, huh?
You know what? I read it both ways as I was reading this.
I don't know. Let's go with Wilding, because that's easier to say than Wilding. Because that's kind of like all over the place with your mouth, you know?
Yeah.
So Max Wilding, scientist developing this robot that was supposed to be for something regarding health longevity, but they accidentally found out that they're on the brink of interdimensional travel. Which I don't know how you accidentally do that.
I do that every time I'm making pasta.
Yeah, it feels like it. And so he works for this like scummy boss dude that sexually assaults like a different scientist named Marnie. But Max uses that as blackmail to get like a budget increase on the project so that they can keep like working on this interdimensional travel. So he basically just blackmails this dude and giving him more money, which I think is pretty cool.
Good.
Scummy boss with a mustache.
Sexual tweedly, assault is bad.
Tweedly little mustache.
Yeah, he looks like a dick.
Mm-hmm. So we get the first shot of the robot here, and that's such a fun design.
Super sick, very fresh.
It feels like it's something that you'd see on that like Boomerang show in the future. I'm spacing on the name. Not the Flintstones, but the opposite.
Space Ghost.
No, not Space Ghost.
Future Quest.
No, the one where... Fuck.
Where it has that like kid?
No, they're like... It's like a future thing.
Oh, fucking the Jetsons?
The Jetsons, thank you.
We got a Jetsons character here.
Yeah, very, very fun design. It's purple.
Mike Allred loves lightning bolts because...
Oh my God, he does. You're right.
Because X-Ray Robot has a lightning bolt on his chest and so does Madman.
He also loves Madman. There's references to it in this book, which are so fun.
Madman is in this twice.
Yeah.
In
different capacities.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Max and his team start the projects, get the robot to another dimension. Which Max has to like pilot through like a headset kind of deal, rigged up to like the lab in general. And so they activate it, the robot goes away and it comes back. And then all of a sudden Max takes off the helmet and his kids look different. And his coworker like kisses him for a brief moment. And he's like, what the hell is that? And then he's like snaps out of it. But like from then on, he continues to have these like strange visions.
Yeah, his wife is a black woman, and they have some light-skinned kids. And then when he goes to that alternate reality, his kids are white.
Yeah, but like I like how it's shown that he kind of snaps like out of it.
Yeah.
Like with this panel, it kind of takes his point of view, and it's like his hands are in front of his face after like rubbing his eyes or whatever, and yeah. like he's like back in his like reality or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think it's like a really fun way to demonstrate that kind of thing.
I wonder if he drew the hands first or the background first. You know,
probably the background, and then he layered on the hands, I would imagine.
That probably makes more sense, because I feel like drawing in between fingers would be really hard.
Yeah, it would be.
Anyway,
so they decide to try it again and try and get like some more data, because to everybody else everything's normal, but Max is just acting a little bit weird.
So he's staying up at night
He sees a vision of like his kid burning in like this hell wasteland for a second. Like that's one of his visions.
Yeah, real quick, the Allred team draw some great titties. We don't see a lot of nipple here,
okay,
or yeah. any nipple, but what we do Ew. See from his wife, good stuff.
Yeah, there's a scene where Max and his wife are in bed, and
like we got that side view.
Yeah, very
and then
good.
We got the smushed up against booby. Up against Max's chest.
Smush,
good. That's
smush.
The best stuff.
I like the panel, the very last panel. It's like they have this like
this embrace,
this like connection that's just beyond anything, and so it's just like it's represented by them hugging naked in space, and I just like love it. It's so like groovy and like.
Wait, you don't do this?
I feel this way, Daniel.
He
captures how I feel, you know.
I go straight through the roof.
So they decide to try the dimensional travel again, try and get more data. So Max hooks up again, and this time both the robot and Max disappear, leaving only Max's brain in like the normal timeline.
Yeah.
While Max and the robot shoot through dimensions and time or whatever. And then he snaps back in with the robot suit like on top of him, and he has to like rip it off. And then again, he sees strange things like his wife being married to his boss instead and all this like weird stuff. So confused, he tries to go activate the suit again, but then a portal opens and a sentient robot comes through claiming that he is Dr. Max, who's lived 277 years, and he needs Max's help to save humankind.
And this new robot just looks like X-ray robot with like
a
Max's,
brain.
Max's brain in there.
Yeah.
And he kind of looks more like a like Vision-esque.
He does, yeah.
With like the mouth and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So it's clear which one is like the original robot and which one is like the Max robot, which becomes important later.
Right.
But how cool is this double page spread of them just like flying through space and time?
The most insane shit I've ever seen.
Like I looked at that page and I was like, yeah, Laura Allred deserved that Eisner for sure.
Absolutely. This shit's so cool.
Like, and then also what a fun twist. It's like a timeline story that's turned into like saving humankind. And it's like, who's this guy? Who's this robot claiming to be me? Like,
yeah, we love that shit.
It's crazy. So
yeah, great first issue.
Great first issue. Very groovy, very Allred. So in the second issue, which this whole issue is like, okay, let me tell you what this shit is actually about kind of deal.
I love this panel right here where it's like yeah. Max and then the X-ray robot in his lens.
Yeah, it's like a double page spread and he's like, you're me? But yeah, this whole issue is kind of like, let me explain what this whole book's going to be about, which
yeah.
I appreciate. But Robot Max convinces the scientists like in that room to hop into this portal that's going to go away. It's like a dying portal so that they can all stop the big bad named the Ultimate Nihilist intending on ending all of existence. So a lot of information.
I don't know
there.
What he has to gain from that.
I don't know.
But
I guess he just likes
roll
it.
With it.
But yeah, so this portal's open. This robot dude claims to be somebody else in the room and then convinces three scientists in a matter of like 5 minutes to just hop in this portal with him.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Can you, like, I can't even imagine.
And I guess there's all these kinds of things that I guess Max tried to do at first, like try and save like Kennedy, try to kill Hitler when he's like painting and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And trying to fix time. But they do the Marvel time method where like if you change something in the past, it just creates like a separate branch reality.
Yeah, that's what like most of the rest of the issue explains.
And so then like he asked the people to go to all those timelines, but they don't really do anything, which yeah. I thought was odd. I thought they were going to stop Max from doing all those things.
No.
which is yes. almost like predictable and something I'd expect.
Yeah, so the concept is that the original experiment, which they thought was going through different dimensions, just kind of does time travel and then creates its own timeline instead of its own dimension. And this was kind of used for good and for bad. Like someone tries to kill Hitler or somebody just like discovers oil before somebody else gets profit. But every time they time traveled, it creates a new timeline that was not the original. And reality itself is getting chipped away with all the new timelines that are being created. So they need to reset all the alternate timelines using X-Ray Robot, who's the original robot from the experiment, which has the ability to see through all of the timelines, but is also the source of the alternate ones, since that robot is the reason why all these new timelines were created.
So it's kind of like Dr. Manhattan here?
Yeah.
In a way.
Basically, or like kind of like an Avengers. Yeah, kind of like an Avengers thing. Like they go back in time to like reset things.
Yeah, in order to get rid of those branch timelines.
Exactly. And so basically they need to find X-Ray Robot in each of the alternate timelines so that that robot can correct them and just create one original dimension. So very high concept here, but I really like Allred's idea of like reality being finite. And if you create too many branches, it just causes like reality to bleed out, as he says. And I think that's a really good analogy.
Yeah.
But it's like an interesting idea because we, a lot of the times in like science fiction, we see reality as something that's like infinite or like dimensions that are infinite. But this is like, no, it's like, there's not like infinite things that you can create and just fuck with. Like there's an order here, you know? And also there's like a lot of explaining in this issue, like I said, but I think this is where we really see Laura Allred step up with coloring. Cause while the robot Max is explaining, they're kind of just like floating in just kind of like abstract environments and sort of like nothingness. And it seems like it's up to Laura to really make that like super interesting visually, which I think she does very well on. Like this whole page right here, where they're just kind of like walking on nothing, but it's supposed to be like super abstract and crazy.
I think it's supposed to like represent in between these dimensions.
Yeah. But like for Allred, I think he's mainly just doing like the figure work or whatever of them like explaining. And then in the background, it's just like kind of up for interpretation.
Bunch of lines and squares.
Bunch of lines. And then she's got to like color them in different ways for each panel. And I think it's really, I think she does really well, like keeping the book like fun and interesting.
Oh, yeah.
So they all get thrown into different alternate timelines to start the mission. But back at the lab, the boss dude tries to destroy the lab to stop all the craziness, but he gets abducted by this like portal demon thing, and then the lab explodes, and an evil looking version, the lab explodes. I thought there was like an evil looking version of Robot Max that comes in, but that's just like one of the covers, so I fucked up on that. I was like, where does he come in on this? It just looks so out of place, but it's like a cover with word balloons on it, so I thought it was an additional page.
Yeah.
But yeah, so back in the main timeline, the lab explodes, so they can't like fix it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, with that issue, we're all kind of like on the same page and we can start to do some interdimensional unraveling, basically. So with issue 3, the three scientists go into their own like weird timelines that they have created, I guess, and they have to find X-Ray Robot to reset the timeline. And basically X-Ray Robot ends up finding them instead. Like these scientists are kind of just like walking around and they're like, all right, we got to find this X-Ray Robot. And then X-Ray Robot pulls up in his own portal and he portals them away.
Yeah, so it's kind of odd that they went to those different dimensions or whatever and then don't really do much.
They just survive.
They just realize how bizarre the universe is.
Basically, they're waiting for their interdimensional Uber to pull up.
Yeah.
And take them. But like, and these timelines are so weird because one is like just where Marnie, like the girl scientist, is in love with Dr. Max. And then the other scientist is thrown into one where we've just gotten rid of racism.
And everyone's blue.
By turning everybody blue. Which is like insane. Like what? Those are so two drastically different things. We're like, in one timeline, one thing has changed. And then the other, there's no racism because everybody's blue. Basically, like what is that?
And then there's this other one that Max goes to. And he's just on like an island floating in the ocean. And it's just a clump of trash.
An island of trash.
Island of trash.
Yeah.
Not even that big.
Yeah, and I also like how X-Ray pulls up and he, like, doesn't say anything. He just kind of, like, stands there and they're like, oh, I guess I should just, like, go in this portal now.
In this trash scene, he knocks over, like, a stack of short boxes and they're filled with Madman comics.
Yep, because and that book is trash.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I haven't actually read it, but it looks very good.
There's a lot of, like, little Easter eggs, I think, in here. Do you know any of these people?
I don't know, but it looks like he's drawing very specific people like on this trash island.
Yeah, like
maybe
like
this is like
somebody.
A portrait of him. I don't know what Mike Allred actually looks like.
Is it in the back matter?
No. But
should we Google him?
Maybe. I mean, yeah, Google what he looks like. I'm sure that this is like his good friend or something, but yeah, I like that there's just a stack of long boxes and when they tumble over, it's just Mad Men. But yeah, Max like is in this trash dimension where the ultimate nihilist finds him and he has to like run away from him while the nihilist like shouts about everything returning to nothingness or whatever.
That's Mike Allred.
Okay, so definitely not him in this book here.
I don't think he's in that. And this is Laura Allred. She looks really nice.
She does look nice. Which one, on the left or right?
Laura?
Laura Allred.
Laura's on the left.
Okay, cool.
Because remember I just showed you a picture of Mike Allred?
Oh, that's Mike Allred on the right. Okay, yeah. Cool. Very nice.
So you wouldn't really look at her and think like, oh, you're a comic book colorist. Right? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Are you a colorist? I've never thought of...
Not to be rude, but Mike Allred kind of looks like he makes comics.
He kind of does. Yeah. He gives off that vibe.
Or he's in like...
Or like he's an artist.
Cover band or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Plays guitar or like...
He doesn't work at like a bank, you know?
This is what I imagine Gerard Way looks like in like maybe 10 years.
Yeah.
Where he's way past his music career.
We still got long hair.
Still got long hair.
He's just enjoying making
comics.
He still
kind of looks like he was like a rock star at one point, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Gerard Way makes more comics. He's kind of doing stuff with My Chemical Romance again, I think, but...
I think there's supposed to be a reunion tour.
I think it's happened or is happening.
I think is happened. Well, they sold tickets for it.
Well, they should stop playing music and just have one person from that band make comics.
Well, he just did a thing.
He just did another comic?
Yeah, it was something of the Infamous Killjoys or something like that.
Oh, sounds lame.
No, it's a... I think it got nominated for stuff.
Oh, cool then. Good for him. But yeah, Max Wilding is on this trash island. He meets the Ultimate Nihilist there, and the Ultimate Nihilist is like, I want to make everything into nothing again. And then X-Ray Robot pulls up, he picks him up, and then the Nihilist jumps into the same portal with them, and they just barely manage to escape to basically this vessel that is outside of reality that Max Robot has made as like a failsafe for if the Nihilist succeeds in his mission. But in this scene with Max and the Ultimate Nihilist, there's a part where it's like in the water and there's a bunch of like marine life, mm-hmm. like turtles and octopi and stuff.
Octopussies.
And I noticed that because just in this one shot, there's all this different marine life. But I noticed that Mike Allred uses those same pictures in like the next page here. Like, and I only noticed because the turtle has like the exact same pose in this page and he does in like the last page.
Yeah, he's like, woo.
Yeah, he's just kind of like got his arms up and I'm like, that's a funny turtle pose. And I noticed it again. So I went back and like all of the marine life, he just kind of like copied and pasted, which I'm totally cool with.
He like flipped him too.
Yeah, so he like flips him to
no
like,
one will catch me.
He's like, this will trick him, which I think is funny.
Did you describe the Ultimate Nihilist?
He's just a big red goopy man.
He kind of looks like
red goopy demon.
The red goblin almost, but he's like really goopy. Like it's kind of like
he's got ugly feet.
Like, it looks like a red symbiote almost.
Yeah.
So he's very, very goopy.
Goopy red symbiote with ugly feet.
He's got his teeth showing. It kind of looks like a skull. So I guess he looks kind of devilish.
Yeah.
Because of the red and his fingers and stuff.
Yeah. Not the most like original design, I guess, but works for something that you're trying to embody something as like just evil in general.
Yeah. Side note.
Also easily recognizable, I guess.
So that new Gerard Way book is The True Lives of the Fabulous Killjoys.
Does it look good? Let me see.
And then guess how old Gerard Way is?
34.
See, that's what I thought. He's actually 44.
Wow.
I know.
Really?
Yeah.
When did he start music? He's like 30?
He's like a little bit. He could be Palm's like younger brother.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Good for him. I'm into it.
I mean, you can look at the images if you want, but.
Looks fine.
I think got nominated for something.
That's cool. Good for him. Make more comics.
Yeah, I love that he's like super into comics because I think he's real good at it.
Yeah, I think he is too. We read his Doom Patrol.
Sure
on
did.
This show, and we enjoyed it. All right, so then issue 4, the last issue. So basically, just more timeline resetting, but Robot Max explains to regular Max that all life lives inside this like being of eternal consciousness who splits himself up into parts of life forms that live finite lives. And Robot Max, as a contingency, gathered some of the smartest individuals from time to be a part of this vessel that he's created in case the Ultimate Nihilist wins so that he can keep some form of reality.
Yeah, he's got like a ship. It looks kind of like a Zeppelin.
Yeah.
And
he's got just a bunch of people in there.
It just exists if reality is erased.
Yeah, in reality, it's just like this dude. This like celestial dude, very Marvel style, like celestial dude.
Do we see him?
Yeah, he's this dude right there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he like splits himself up into like mini people and throws them to different planets and stuff.
Yeah, they're just goopy and they fall off of them.
And like, I really like this concept that Allred kind of brings that life is finite because we are just small parts of an infinite being that continually divides himself. So it's kind of like a reincarnation in a way, but it's not really at the same time.
Yeah, I know.
Because he like splits himself up, and then when those beings die, like their life form kind of goes back to this being in consciousness, and then he just creates another one from what it sounds like.
Yeah.
So like that soul or whatever. I don't know. It's crazy cosmic stuff, but pretty cool idea in general. Like I get what he's going for. And so basically the scientists, including Max, keep jumping through different timelines just to be found by X-ray robot and then get taken through a portal to reset those timelines. Some are more pleasant than others. Like there's one where like that third scientist, the old guy, they just like,
there's like statues of him everywhere. They worship him.
Yeah. And they're like, oh my God, it's this scientist dude. We all love this scientist dude. And then there's one where Max gets taken to just like this random building and Madman is there. And he's like, who the hell are you?
It's just the Madman universe, I think.
Yeah, I think it's the Madman universe.
The girl doctor, whatever her name was, is in like a flooded New York City.
Yeah, she's
like
in
that Hugh Jackman movie.
Yeah, she's in the Hugh Jackman movie. Hugh Jackman's in that building, actually. It's crazy.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, they basically all meet at the end of time with the Nihilist, who they fight until X-ray robot just scoops them all up again to go back to the original timeline. And there's this like, yeah, the Madman scene is pretty fun. I like that he like has dialogue too, Madman. He's like, what the hell is that? And he's like, get away from him, kind of deal. It's yeah. Like very simple, but I just figured he would like stay silent or just be in the background or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, X-ray robot takes them all back to the original lab, and they're right before, they appear right before they activate the original X-ray robot for the first time, and they convince Dr. Max to like not activate him by proving that they're from another timeline with bringing up Max's weird visions that he hasn't told anybody about at this point.
Yeah.
But then also Dr. Max from the future pulls up for a bit, which is like way more convincing, I feel like.
Yeah, he's got like a cyborg head and eye, and his brain's like exposed.
Like the two other scientists that aren't Max show up first and they're like, don't activate it, we're from the future. And then they say something crazy, and then Dr. Max from the future pulls up and he's like, okay, now I get it.
He's also got like robot legs.
Yeah.
Because his were like torn off by the Nihilist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so Max from the future like fuses with the original Max, it looks like.
Or I think his, yeah, something
or
like
his
that.
Consciousness, you know, something like that. And mm-hmm. So they decide to shut down the project. And then we see the ultimate Nihilist implode over a double page spread, which is pretty cool.
Not really a criticism, but I always just notice the way Mike Allred draws eyes. I think they just really like stand out. And I think they definitely remind me of like iZombie a lot.
Yeah.
It seems like they're a little bit more detailed than the rest of the face, but, and they seem a bit bigger than a normal like anatomy, but I think it works really well.
Yeah, I think he uses that to like express a lot of emotion though.
Yeah, definitely.
Because even with just like the boss dude, like he looks like he's angry, and a lot of that is in his eyes and like his eyebrows.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. I don't think I ever really did notice like the eyes are just like a little bit bigger than typical anatomy.
Right. And who wants real anatomy, you know?
Yeah, no one. We want all red anatomy.
Definitely. And everything's so, all happy.
Yeah,
and
Nihilist implodes and they're like, we did it. Everything's all good now, I guess. And then that's the end of the book. So pretty fun. Pretty funky, groovy little timeline story.
Yeah, I had a good old time of this. It was real swift.
Yeah. Swift, you know, didn't really like necessarily care about all the characters, but there's a lot of them for four issues for what this book is.
Yeah.
You know, but I think they're mainly there to demonstrate that there are different versions of these people in the book. So,
yeah, I think this is an example where you don't really need the characterization or the character development.
Yeah, it's just the fun story, you know?
Yeah, it's like these are the people. They're important because they have lab coats on.
Yeah, exactly. So let's get into Back Matter Matter, Daniel.
Back Matter Matters.
Okay. So we got some dope covers. He got a lot of really good people to do some first issue covers.
Oh, you have this first issue?
I have that one.
Oh, that's sick.
We got Chris Somney with like a fun little, you know, cover. We got Christian Ward with like a X-ray robot cover.
Oh yeah,
he's floating towards a brain. It looks like the Nirvana album.
I think that's exactly what he was trying to do, the Nevermind album.
Yep. David Rubin, who's doing some sort of a book with Jeff Lemire right now, I think
he's doing that
Kickstarter
Cosmic Detective or something.
Cosmic Detective, I think. Yeah,
Kickstarter one. Yeah, that this one's crazy.
Ruby Paul Pope with Laura Allred. We got a Greg Smallwood Trade Waiters Award winner.
Ah, yeah.
A cover where X-ray robot's basically the Kool-Aid man.
Yeah. I think that's a rap album cover that they're referring to.
Oh, it might be. And then Trad Moore.
Dude, I love when he's in things.
Dude, Trad Moore is so good.
Love when he does things.
So, just so unbelievably good. And perfect for this kind of style of book, too, mm-hmm. with how crazy and groovy it is. And so, the rest of this trade is back matter that we've never encountered before. Okay.
Are you talking about the 2D covers?
So there's 3D covers.
Oh, 3D covers, yeah.
And there's ones where you need like the special glasses for, because they're like in the red and blue sort of distortion kind of thing.
Yeah.
To where if you have 3D glasses, you can experience them in that way. But there's also 3D covers where you don't need glasses, okay? And there's an explanation. So basically the rest of the back matter is just all the trades again, but in these 3D forms. But the for the ones that you don't need glasses for, there's an explanation from this dude named Christian, who's the 3D guru that made, I guess, these available for 3D. Mm-hmm. And he basically explains how to view the other covers in 3D, which is basically a system of like crossing your eyes. So the rest of them, you see the covers in, there's like two side by side. And basically the idea is to cross your eyes just slightly so that these two images create an image in the center. And then if you just like hold that position with your eyes will eventually focus and it creates like a 3D thing. It took me like 10 minutes to do.
Yeah, let me see.
And I thought he was talking about doing that with like the red and blue ones, and I like could not figure it out. But no, it's like actually these ones. So let me give you.
Okay, yeah, because that doesn't help.
No, that doesn't work. But I think that the easiest one to do is the Christian Ward one.
Okay.
So you gotta like focus your eyes.
It doesn't even look that different when you do this. Here, let me see that.
Sorry, I was doing it again. You need good lighting though, so make sure you have that.
It's kind of some shitty lighting in here.
Yeah. So you gotta focus your eyes. You got to cross your eyes so that they converge into one image, and then just keep holding that and your eyes are going to focus. It'll like click into place. It's like I learned like a new skill with like this back matter.
They're not clicking anything.
Just keep doing it. Just like try and focus, but like don't let your eyes move that much. It might even help if you do it under like that light.
All right, give me a sec.
Yeah. We can cut out the dead space.
Like they get close, but like not quite like together. You know
I want
what
you
mean?
To keep it and keep trying because it's kind of magical. Once you like get good at it.
Well, I'll do it on my phone. Here, yeah. You can take that back. That's a gift to you.
Thank you. But yeah, I like learned a new skill. Like read that little section there.
Yeah,
like
I need to read the instructions.
But the way that I explain it is the way I would explain it to myself.
Okay.
But like if you just keep focusing, it'll click in place. And like now I have that skill for like forever to see things in 3D. And it's weird because my eyes are like looking at different images. But since it's the same image, it looks like one image. And then they just like focus in place.
Yeah.
So once you do get good at it, the Christian Ward one is like the easiest one.
Okay.
Because learn just the one skill, thing.
Yeah.
And then the coolest one in 3D is Chris Somni's because you can see like the individual like people moving independently somehow.
Oh,
it's crazy.
Weird. Okay. Okay.
So yeah, very interesting. That's something that I've never seen in back matter and will probably never see again. You know?
Yeah. No. Definitely.
So I really enjoy. I just enjoyed it. It was
it's
cool.
Definitely the book that would have something like that.
Yeah. Some sort of groovy thing like that. So
good.
How would you rate this book, Daniel?
To love it, Nathan.
Yeah. Definitely love it for me.
We'll do like a maybe like just a plain vanilla or maybe a strawberry. Some with lots of colors, you know. We throw some.
False. It's a Neapolitan or a cotton, one of those cotton candy ones.
Yeah, so I'm saying like a fruity one. Yeah. And then you throw like fruit in there, you know.
Tons of colors. Yeah, and then you put like gummy bears in there or something.
Or like strawberries. Yeah. I'm thinking more Froyo, I think.
Oh, okay.
You know, like
sure.
Froyo where you put like the just the plain vanilla or like one of the fruit ones and then just as much fruit in there as possible.
Yeah, exactly.
Even like the little boba things with the
exactly
the juice in it.
Like it's a this book is a treat that feels like it's good for your soul, you know.
Mm-hmm. it's quite the cleanse, you know.
Yeah, it really is. So just a fun Allred book. If you like Allred, you'll like this book as well.
Indeed.
Because I feel like he's got like an audience of people that will read his work, very kind of similar to how like Brubaker and Sean Phillips do.
Yeah,
like there are people that will just pick up like their books that they do because they know it's something they'll enjoy.
Yeah.
I feel like Allred's kind of the same way.
For sure.
So, yeah. Let's get into the pull list. Colin.
Shove it in your box.
That's right.
Alrighty. The pull list, the pull list. What did you shove in your box?
First of 2021, Daniel, what did you pick up?
I didn't go to the shop because I didn't have any books.
Very, very light week for me as well.
I know that Joker Puzzle Box came out, but I also haven't started that book, and I don't even think I have all the issues.
I dropped off of it as well.
So
I was supposed to get Green Lantern number 10, but I guess it's been delayed until the 18th or something.
Damn.
So I went to the shop. I didn't know it was delayed.
Oh.
And I didn't have anything there to pick up, really. So I picked up the newest Detective Comics, Detective Comics 1047.
Okay.
And here's why.
Who's on that?
Mariko Tamaki is writing it.
Oh, cool.
Very good writer. But yeah, what really sold me on it is that it's it looked like it was like a jumping on point for Detective Comics.
Okay.
Because, you know, Arkham Asylum?
Yes.
That exploded.
Oh.
And now it's Arkham Tower.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. And it's got Ivan Reis on the art.
Ooh.
Ivan Reis?
Reis.
And I love him from Green Lantern. And I'm like, clearly if Ivan Reis is on a book, it's got to be a good book. Because he was on like Superman stuff with Bendis. And I know him from Green Lantern. But all sorts of good stuff he's been on. So I'm like, I'll pick this up. Because I have nothing else to buy.
Reis did it with Johns, didn't he?
What? Yeah, Jeff Johns. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
And it's awesome. So I picked up this book. I did read it this week as well.
Any good?
Pretty fun.
Okay.
It like is going a lot faster than I thought it would because they like just introduced Arkham Tower, or maybe they were building it in like the previous issues or something.
Yeah.
But like, what do you think would happen with an Arkham Tower story?
It gets knocked over.
No. Other thing. It gets overrun.
Oh, okay.
It gets overrun in this issue. So I'm like, okay, cool. We're getting right to it.
Yeah. So Mariko Tamaki had a great story and he or she, I don't know.
I think it's a
so they
woman? They yeah
did the Skull Digger Visions book with Black Hammer, and it was kick-ass.
Mariko Tamaki is a girl.
Is that the first like right now? Never mind. I don't know if there's been like has there been a female writer on Batman. I'm sure Detective Comics at one point, but like on main title.
I think like Gail Simone.
Oh, okay.
Has been on it.
Gotcha.
Or Becky Cloonan.
Do they have like a run though? Or did they do like a Batman book? You know what I mean?
I think they did like a main Batman book. Okay, but I'd have to see.
Anyway, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I picked it up. Ivan Reis is amazing. He does a great Batwoman. Batman hasn't shown up any yet. I don't know what his deal is. Uh-huh. But there's also, it's one of those books that has like a backup story, like in the back of it.
Oh, cool.
Which can be hit or miss, but this one's by Matthew Rosenberg.
Oh.
And it's like an origin of some sort of supervillain, it seems like.
Okay.
And it's really cool.
Nice.
And basically the idea of that is, there's this little kid and his parents are somehow involved with like the Joker, and the Joker's coming to like kill his parents basically.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks through like the people and the Joker's there and his parents are like, you need to go hide like immediately. And so he goes to hide and he witnesses the Joker kill his parents. But when he goes out of like the closet from where he's hiding, Batman shows up as well. And he's like, I need you Batman shows up and he's like, you need to come with me. And then the kid thinks that like Batman was responsible for killing his parents as well, along with the Joker. And then the police come, so Batman leaves, and then Gotham PD takes him in, but it's like so late in the night that Child Protective Services can't take him in.
Yeah.
And so he has to spend the night at Arkham Asylum.
I feel like there's way better alternatives.
Yeah.
What about just jail?
I guess.
Isn't there normal jail?
I don't think so. I think it's just Arkham.
There's Blackgate Prison.
Blackgate, yeah.
Like, before you go to prison, you go to jail. You know what I mean?
They explain it very well, you know?
Okay.
But like Child Protective Services is either too busy or it's too late in the night to like get somebody to come get this kid.
Do you know who the villain is or no?
I don't.
Oh, okay.
It's like some ginger kid.
Maybe it'll like continue in future issues.
It does.
Kind of like how like Shazam was in the back of Justice League for a while, like in New 52.
No, yeah, it will continue. It said that was like part one. So
okay.
Very fun. So I picked up a new thing this week.
Nice. I'm proud of you. Thank you.
So what did you read this week then? I read more stuff, but...
not a lot of reading. I just continued on Why the Last Man. I read volume 4 and 5.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I'm about halfway through that book
now.
Still
spicy?
I think the 5th volume is definitely the most important one that I've read so far. The 4th volume, I think, is like the most spicy one, most exciting one. You know what I mean? One thing that I thought was odd, they go to Arizona at one point because they're on the way to San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
And they stop in Queensbrook, Arizona. Do you know where that is?
No.
Neither do I, because it's not a real place.
What?
I just don't understand why he'd make up cities. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Queensbrook?
Well, maybe it was renamed for, you know, Why the Last Man. Maybe, like, someone renamed it after the gender side.
Weird.
Yeah, but not a real place.
Just, like, say you're in Queen Creek.
Or fucking Tucson or whatever.
Yuma.
Yeah.
Goodyear.
Flagstaff. Anything. I don't know. I thought it was odd.
Bunch of Apache Junction, you know?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Can I tell you like a teeny tiny spoiler?
Yeah, go for it.
Yorick gets some ass.
Does he?
Yes. I was like, yes, let's go.
Good for him.
I was about to say it wasn't Beth, but it actually was a girl named Beth.
A different girl. Not his Beth, but a different Beth?
Yeah.
So it counts. I mean, he said he wanted to be with Beth.
It's not like he didn't specify. He's like, he meets him with Beth. He's like, I slept with Beth.
Yeah, it's like a legal loophole. He's like, I said I was going to find Beth before I slept with any other woman.
And I found Beth. That's so funny. Yeah. Anyway, I was just really excited that happened.
Yeah.
Because everyone's like, why aren't you fucking everybody? And he's like,
I want Beth.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, I guess this is good enough for now.
Anyway, yeah, it's such an easy book to read, and it just keeps that momentum and that pacing. And yeah. So I'm just like...
He's so good at that. Yeah. For like long form stories.
So I could, if I just committed like a little bit of time to it, I could like finish it, you know?
Cool.
So I'm, because I got to know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't want to spoil anymore. And then I started watching the Super Crooks show,
mm-hmm.
like the anime. It's very much an anime.
Okay, good.
And yeah, it so it's 13 episodes and the book was only like 4 issues. So there's tons of stuff that they add to it.
So they did a Jupiter's Legacy.
A little bit, but like better. They like added more background and cool. just fleshed some things out a little bit more, which is really cool. And so, and the Super Crooks are all like villains, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they have their own set of superheroes. But in the anime, they retcon it to be in the Jupiter's Legacy universe.
What?
They're like worried about the Utopian and stuff like that. I was like,
that's weird.
They talk about Brainwave. I was like, what?
Weird.
I was very caught off guard by it.
Wow. He's really trying to sell this Miller World universe.
Yeah, he's definitely just trying to make it one universe, which could work.
It's interesting.
Because with all the superheroes and stuff, I think it's possible.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, I just thought that was interesting.
Did not expect that. That's crazy.
Yeah. I'm like, if Utopian shows up in this, that'd be super fucking cool.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool.
Because they showed like, it starts off with like the Utopian, like talking to some kids or something. I'm like,
is it the same actor?
No. It's like voice acting?
Yeah.
No, they just got like a bunch of anime voice actors, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, cool.
Because it sounds like an anime too. Like I'll recommend it to Carter like when I'm done.
Sure.
Assuming it's good.
Just recommend it as an anime, because I'm sure he'll be more likely to watch it.
Yeah, be like, dude, did you see this new anime on Netflix?
Yeah, you didn't see this
you
anime?
You haven't seen it, fake weeb.
Wow, you're not even a weeb.
Yeah, not even a weeb. It's only 13 episodes. You'll love it.
Yeah.
You'll finish it in like an hour somehow.
Yeah.
And...
You read Human Target, right?
I did not.
You didn't read number 3?
No. I was going to read it before you got here, but then you texted me like, I'll be there in like 5 to 10 minutes. I'm like, ooh, that's not enough time.
Oh, shit.
Bye.
It's great.
Okay.
Lots of Green Lantern stuff, and that's all I'll really say.
I'll just skip it then.
No, it's important.
Okay.
Because Green Lantern Guy Gardner dated Ice Chick.
Oh.
So there's some drama.
Oh, that Green Lantern then.
Guy Gardner, yeah. He was the one that was in the Justice League.
International,
yeah.
Okay. Cool, yeah, no, I'll definitely
There's some like fun references that I think are like famous enough for comic book people, not just Green Lantern fans. But there's an issue of Justice League International where Batman punches Guy Gardner.
Okay.
In the face because he's being an ass.
I didn't know that, but it seems like something we do.
And that same composition is in that book, but with a different character punching Guy Gardner. So,
oh, cool.
But yeah, very fun.
I automatically thought of that meme where it's like Batman slapping Robin.
It's kind of like that, but if just Guy Gardner gets punched. Yeah. It's kind of like the same composition. And then I read Moon Knight, number 6.
Yeah. So chugging along.
Chugging along. People seem to like this book online, too.
You know, I
really do not.
Most of the time... People seem to have different opinions than I do on books.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I'm giving it one more issue to just, like, really wow me, but yeah. I don't know why.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's multiple Moon Knights, mm-hmm. and there's this dude named Zodiac, which is a cool name.
Good name.
He's just a black Moon Knight, basically. He's got the thing over his face, and there's these characters that, like, I think have potential to be interesting. Like, okay. There's a Hydra soldier that is reformed and trying to do better.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And in the context of this universe where Moon Knight's trying to be like a priest for the community or something, I feel like there could be some good interactions there. And then there's like a vampire that he's mates with as well. But like, and it all makes sense in like the story why the stuff has happened.
Okay.
But this is like...
Just when you talk about it, this is the state of context.
Out of context is very weird, but like they're not doing much with it. I just don't know.
Yeah.
So it seems like... The next issue is going to either set up cool stuff or deliver on cool stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to decide. But it's a notch of series so far for me.
Gotcha. It was a nominee. Did you watch anything?
I did. Me and Sophia were watching some old cartoons on HBO Max. So we started watching Teen Titans again.
Oh, nice. Great show.
That show is so good.
Holds up.
Even like the first couple episodes, they didn't have to like find their footing or whatever. It was just a banger off the bat.
I remember when Teen Titans Go came out and like the kids are watching it or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, let me show you some real Teen Titans.
Yeah.
And I like found it and we were watching them and it's awesome.
It is awesome. I think Teen Titans Go is good too.
It is good
for its own reasons.
I think I was just like, that was before I knew it was good, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I was just partial to.
But Old School Teen Titans has a great intro theme thing, by the way. But like, they just like nailed it, dude. Like, the characters all interact in a very good way. Mm-hmm. And I kind of got like nostalgia for it because I remember like watching the original show. And then I also remember like the Adobe Flash games that came from like Teen Titans. Like, there was like a fighting game.
Oh,
for,
yeah.
Like, Teen Titans.
That shit was awesome.
It was so good. Adobe Flash games are like the best era in gaming, easily.
Like, when you go to CartoonNetwork.com
or like Nickelodeon.com, there's like a basketball game with all the Nickelodeon characters. Are you shitting me?
Yeah, those so ones good. Where you can make like your own Codename Kids Next Door character.
Yeah, we were watching Codename Kids Next Door as well.
Good one.
This week. More annoying than you might think, or maybe it's get better in later seasons.
I think it's probably just like number three that's annoying.
That kind of all a little bit anyway, but okay. And Tom Kenny's in it, SpongeBob.
In
Codename Kids Next Door.
Who is he?
He's just like some random character. He's not like number one through five. But
okay.
But anyway, Teen Titans. And then I also got like a different kind of nostalgia watching it this time because it just reminds me of like college, because you're just like living on your own and you're just like kind of eating junk food, playing video games with your boys.
Yeah.
And it just reminds me of when I was like living with each of my friends and now Sophia, and we're just kind of like, I don't know. And it's just like, it's so crazy. That show is so good. Show is so good.
It's a show.
So it's very fun. Good. And then we also watched the movie Don't Look Up on Netflix.
Yeah, we watched that too.
Crazy.
Great movie.
It is a pretty good movie, yeah.
I love Adam McKay. He's like, I think he's one of the best directors. He's like top five for me.
What other ones?
So he had like a pretty good comedy career. And then he's done like a lot of like...
Oh, he did like Step Brothers or something like that, right?
I think he did like Step Brothers. He did like The Other Guys.
Oh, great movie.
And then he's done a lot more serious things lately. Like, he did that movie Vice with, who plays him? Is that Christian Bale? Yeah, Christian Bale. And then he also did The Big Short, which I think was the real popular one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did.
So, yeah, he's
I remember looking
very
him
good
up.
Director. So.
He is. And this is...
I was looking forward to this one a lot.
This one, it's good. I really love, like, the editing specifically. Like,
yeah,
there's
great
parts
editing.
Where it's like they're in like the middle of the scene, and right when you're like, okay, I get what's happening, they cut out, and you're like, well, I guess I can kind of just like assume how that ended.
And then they had like clips of stuff that mixed in there.
Yeah, that, yeah, exactly. And like just the juxtaposition that they put in like the editing, where they would show like human life or like nature, like you see like a frog or something on a leaf,
yeah,
and then you see like New York, and it's like just like all this like crazy stuff, very deep.
Yeah.
It is a little bit on the nose, but I think it's supposed to be, you know?
Yeah, I think he is really big on exposing things, I guess, or just like having metaphors for things.
Message.
Just be like, yeah, this is something people need to know about and like kind of need to open their eyes about, I guess.
Yeah. I really like Leonardo DiCaprio's performance because
he's great.
I believe that he's just a big fucking nerd.
Yeah.
And like, that's different from most of his other roles where he's like a cocky, like son of a bitch, basically, like in Wolf of Wall Street. Or like in Django, you know,
yeah.
Like all those ones where he has this like crazy performance.
Yeah,
he's a believable fucking nerd in this one.
Yeah.
Because as soon as that was done, I was like, that's like, he's never done a role like that. But I never thought that he was like forcing it at all. So he's really good.
He's also done, Adam McKay's also done Talladega Nights and Anchorman. So
first one?
Yeah, I think both.
Wow.
So
he's a great comedy director then.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's done tons of stuff.
Very cool.
I think a lot of Will Ferrell stuff. But yeah,
Don't Look Up was also crazy because like I believe something like that would happen, you know?
Yeah, and like it played out exactly how it would happen, you know what I mean?
And it's supposed to be like a metaphor for like climate change?
Yeah, or COVID.
COVID is in there for sure, but like the main thing is like climate change, and like there's data and science that, you know, we could stop this if we tried, and we just don't because our whole society is kind of capitalistically motivated.
And this thing had like the most stacked cast like I've ever seen.
Timothy Chalamet, he does Dune and then he does this.
Ron Perlman
is, he was the best for that role.
Yeah.
The Republican dude.
I was like, Ron Perlman's in this?
Yeah,
it was really funny.
And then at the end you just kind of feel hopeless.
Yeah. Did you watch like the after credit thing?
Yeah.
Where they go to that new planet?
Yeah.
That was very satisfying. I was like, oh, I thought some debris would hit the fucking ship or something.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
But I did like that, like probably my favorite part that he doesn't really like focus on, but he kind of does. You know when like Leonardo DiCaprio's character was like challenging like the science behind getting the stuff on the Meteor. And then the big business dude was like, I have 10 million data points on you. I know you're going to die. You're going to die like alone.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't end up dying alone. He dies like with his family.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was really nice because like he kind of showed him, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he was going to.
He didn't die alone. He would have if he like kind of kept going with things. Yeah. But he just decided I want to end it with like my family, you know.
Yeah. It was like. Like, I loved the build-up to them actually dying. Like, it was very slow, and they were trying really hard just to act normal.
And talk it was about so whatever. Uncomfortable for me.
Absolutely, too. Yeah. And that's why I liked it so much, because it was so true. Like, most people would be, like, crying, like, embracing their family or whatever.
But yeah, they just wanted and you're like, what would I do in this situation if I'm completely hopeless?
Yeah, and the whole thing just looked fantastic. Like, didn't even look like a Netflix movie.
Yeah.
It did have a theater release.
Oh,
so,
it did.
So
okay.
It did a short theater run. I think it came out like the beginning of December.
That's cool.
But yeah, I love this movie. Jonah Hill was awesome.
Oh, yeah. He's a total douchebag.
He's so fucking funny.
When he was like, hey, you know that bag on your head? I asked for that. We didn't need that. You
the
didn't
FBI
need
that. Doesn't do that. Yeah. The CIA does, but.
This is a chaser movie for me. It's one of those movies where you need a chaser thing after it because you feel so like just weird after watching it.
Yeah, it's a bit of a downer. It's but super... I think I just liked the movie so much to where I didn't really need a chaser.
Oh, well, I was watching with Sophia and
she needed a chaser.
She needed a chaser.
Yeah.
And just reacting to her reaction from it, I was like, I kind of need a chaser too. I thought so this... we watched New Girl after.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Dude, I thought this movie was going to be over by the time they shot the rocket at the meteor. And then I paused it to go pee. And I'm like, this shit's got an hour left.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like there was so much in that first hour that it almost seemed like, oh, this movie's almost over.
They move very quick.
But no, it's like 2.5 hours or whatever.
Also, I love that Jennifer Lawrence plays the character that she normally does where she's just like a normal person. She's like, this is all fucked up.
Yeah, she's screaming.
This is all fucked up. How do you not see this is all fucked up? kind of deal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good movie.
Definitely.
And now Sophia thinks she wants to watch Midsommar. I don't know what got her on this. I think it's partly because of me explaining that Midsommar kind of made me feel like it was a chaser movie as well.
I think Midsommar made me feel worse.
It absolutely made me feel worse.
So I think she can handle that because there are no jump scares.
She asked me, are there jump scares? And I'm like, no, but I wish there were.
But it makes you feel
exactly
comfy.
And I tried to explain that to her and she's like, I want to watch it. And I'm like, you don't.
But like you've seen the worst things.
She is like,
just let her. She wanted it.
She's got like the, like if, imagine taking like a 10-year-old to go see Don't Look Up. Like that, like the way that they feel, like a 10-year-old would feel, that's like Sophia, my girlfriend.
So she's going to start crying?
And so, well, like she would, at some point in the movie, she was like, like she felt hopeless too, like right along with the characters.
Yeah.
Like she empathizes with them so well.
I was so tense and stressed out.
I'm kind of like dead inside a little bit, but like she empathizes
very
well.
Much, yeah.
And so if she watches Midsommar, it's going to ruin her. I'm scared, but we're going to watch it.
You're never going to get the pre-Midsommar Sophia back again.
No, I won't. She will come out changed.
Remember how she is.
And I told her we can watch it, but I said,
with the light,
we don't have to finish it.
Yeah.
So like, we could stop it at any time.
We can have a safe word.
Like when they jump off the cliff.
Oh, yeah. She's not going to take that well.
Absolutely not. So
I don't even know if she'll take the opening scene very well.
No, that shit's hard too.
That was tough.
I only got through it because I thought the cinematography was cool.
Yeah, and then just like the fucking end, the end, you know, when all the people die.
We watched the trailer and she's like, oh, that's Yelena from Hawkeye. And I'm like, oh god. She wants to watch it more now.
Yeah, no, it's Florence Pugh, and she's in Hawkeye,
and she makes me feel bad too in this movie. Like, I don't know, everybody. So yeah. Anyway, this little side thing,
we also started Blacklist.
I don't know what that is.
Blacklist.
I don't know what that is.
The Blacklist.
No.
So you know the guy who plays Ultron?
Yes.
So this is like his like TV show. This
I have seen an episode or two then.
Okay, yeah.
He's in The Office as well.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that.
That's how I like know him, which is funny, I think.
Okay. Yeah, no, he's like this villain and he like turns himself in and has this like list of people that he thinks should die or like be captured or something. Mm-hmm. And they're like villains or they're like criminals that the government doesn't even like know about. And so he's like slowly helping the government like find them in order to like turn them in and things like that. And it's really fucking interesting. And like every episode stands alone like really well. And I like it a lot. So I think that's going to be a new relationship show.
Cool.
8 seasons and I don't think any filler episodes. So we'll see.
Good stuff.
And it's like one of those things where this guy is written to be just like the smartest guy. And he's like 10 steps in front of everybody. And he just has like everything planned out.
So like Reed in Criminal Minds. I don't know if you've seen enough of that show.
I've seen enough of that, but like more almost.
Okay. Interesting.
You know what I mean?
Very but, cool.
Yeah, good stuff. Anything else that you read or watched?
I don't think so. Okay. That was it.
Did you?
Oh, I read the second issue of Devil's Reign.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff.
So fun.
Nice.
Did you read it at all?
I just read Why Last Man.
Okay. That's fair. So. Second issue, I think, is better than the first.
Cool.
And not just because it starts with Iron Fist, but Iron Fist is in it. And it's very cool.
So it's like a Jenga series. It just builds on top of it, and it's higher, and the quality goes up. You
a
know?
New term, yeah. This episode,
and then it's fucking knocked over.
Not necessarily, but
well, not like knocked over, but like it'll end.
But like the stakes definitely rose, and it's good. The balance is very good for it to be like a Marvel event kind of deal. So
yeah,
I like it a lot. I liked the second issue better than the first.
Nice. So I watched Boba Fett. I know you watched it last week.
Oh, yeah.
But we didn't talk about it.
Did you watch the second episode?
Fuck, no.
I have not.
No.
Okay. The general, like, opinion on it is that it's not very good. Uh-huh. I don't know why.
Because
I like
fighting.
It a lot.
Have you seen the fighting?
Fighting is not very good.
Is
sure.
That, did you see his face when he was fighting with his helmet off and he just, like, hits the guy with something? Mm-hmm. He's just like, and it's,
yeah.
And, like, the fight and the choreography is just, like, off, and they could have just edited it a little bit better to make it look better.
There were times where I'm like, just use your jetpack. have a jetpack, just use a jetpack.
It was just, I'm like, put the helmet back on, put a stunt double so that it looks a little bit cooler. You know what I mean?
Sure. I don't think you're wrong.
And so that, I was like, what's happening? And it was so let down by it because I thought it was going to be like Mandalorian like quality, which it has every chance to be in the future. But
sure.
That was just like a bad taste in my mouth that I saw.
Sure.
But it was cool to see like, you know, the Sarlacc shit.
The Sarlacc shit was cool.
Yeah.
I like his struggles after that.
Answers all the questions.
I like that Jawas jump his ass. Yeah. And they take all of his stuff.
I like the face droid that he has.
Oh, yeah.
It's just got a human face.
In Jabba's palace?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. I like his Gamorrean guards.
His what?
His Gamorrean guards. The pig dudes.
Yeah.
And it's so they
looked really good.
They do, and it's very clear that they just got two fat dudes to like put on some like face makeup to make them look like Gamorreans.
It looks good.
But it does look good. It looks so good.
Yeah, I'm into it.
They got two like Bert Kreischer looking asses to like put on some
Kreischer.
It might be Bert Kreischer. They made him wax his
IMDb
his chest.
That'd be so fucking funny.
But like it looks like that sort of physique where it's like you can't really tell that it's like a person, but if you were like looking at just their big gut. You're like, that's just a fat dude.
Right.
But it works great. And I love those Gamorrean guards because they're like, I don't know, I guess we're loyal to you now. And they are. They're like super loyal.
I thought it was fun that we got to see some Banthas.
Banthas? I love Banthas. They're my favorite creature in the Marvel Universe.
Easily. And then did you notice that at Mos Eisley, they had like a bartender and it was just the droid from like Star Tours?
Yes.
I was like, oh, what the fuck?
How sick was that Cantina music like remix kind of deal?
You know, I didn't catch that it was a remix.
Not like a remix, but like a cover almost.
Yeah. I honestly didn't catch that. It didn't like pick up for me.
It's kind of sick.
I want to rewatch it because I missed a part.
Do you watch with captions on?
Most of the time.
I only knew, like I was only listening to the music because in the captions it said rendition of Cantina theme or whatever. So I was listening because I saw stringed instruments and it was pretty cool.
When I watched it, I watched it at mom's house.
No captions?
Use it, no captions.
Gotcha.
So it's kind of, I had to listen real close.
But yeah, I like just the struggle that he goes to right after the Sarlacc.
It's kind of got some vibes where it goes back and forth between like his struggle and then like where he is now.
Yeah, which I don't think will be a thing throughout the whole series.
Hopefully not. Maybe just the first couple.
But yeah, I just like the idea of it. Like you see what happens after the Sarlacc pit and then also he's a new crime lord but nobody respects him kind of deal. Like
yeah.
After Jabba. So I think that's all good setup. And like the action, yeah, maybe could be a little bit better than just standing in a circle punching some shields. But we saw some Star Wars parkour. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I liked that. But yeah, I think it's good. People seem to not like it because the action is a little weak, but I like it.
That was really the only downfall, I think. Mm-hmm. But I think they have opportunity to make that better. And maybe it's just a first issue kind of thing or first episode kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll see. Oh, real quickly. I saw Bill Burr last week.
Yeah.
In concert, and he was in Mandalorian. I just want to bring that up. He didn't talk about it.
Nope.
But
he doesn't like Star Wars even.
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
So if Bert Kreischer was in it, he doesn't care about Star Wars, that'd be really cool too.
Yeah. They just get actors that, comedians that specifically don't care about Star Wars.
Like Chris Rock will be in there for like no reason.
For something.
Eddie Murphy.
Do they not care about Star Wars? Famously? Or?
I don't, not like famously. I don't know if Bill Burr famously didn't like Star Wars, but he's just like.
He just said, like, after he was on the appearance, he's like, yeah, I don't care about Star Wars that much. So.
And I think that's the show, Nathan.
What are we gonna read next week? I think that's the show. So next week, we're gonna read Nightwing. For this thing that we did, the gift exchange or whatever.
You know, we could do that.
We could do that.
We could do that next week. Because, you know what we got coming, Nathan?
What?
We got Peacemaker, Nathan.
So.
Comes out on the 13th.
What Peacemaker thing comes out? Or what Peacemaker comics are there? Because I don't think there's much.
Good question. There's not. But there was a Suicide Squad comic that came out last year. Kind of with, alongside Suicide Squad.
Tom Taylor one?
Maybe, but I think it has a lot of Peacemaker. But most things that have him in it were from like the 80s. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's Suicide Squad 2021. No, it's written by Robbie Thompson.
Okay.
Dexter Soy, Eduardo Pensica, and Javier Fernandez on art.
Give Peace a chance.
Yes.
Okay. So that seems like it would have Peacemaker. He's on the cover.
Yep. Sure is. And his first mission. Yeah. So if you want to do that, or we can push this to next week and then just do Nightwing, because I think this will be like a weekly thing. Peacemaker will come out weekly, right?
First three episodes are coming out, and then it's weekly.
Okay. So yeah, we could just do the Peacemaker and then also talk about it next week.
Because, yeah, we won't have even seen it, huh?
Right.
By the time we record.
Right.
Sure. Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
So most recent Suicide Squad.
Correct.
Sounds good. We'll do that next week. And that works because no comic shops have fucking the Nightwing trade in print.
Oh, okay. No big deal. So, wait, we are doing Suicide Squad, or are we doing Nightwing?
Suicide Squad, and then hopefully I can maybe get my hands on a Nightwing in print so I can give it to you just as you've given me this.
Okay, makes sense.
So, yeah, Suicide Squad, Volume 1, give Peace a chance.
But after that, we don't have anything else for January, so we're golden.
Okay, cool. Sounds good.
Sounds good. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can email us to tell us that you hate us or tell us what to read. And send us an email at tradeverspod@gmail.com.
If you have other nominees or your own a winner for those categories that we came up with, like your own Nacho series or just your own best writer that we completely missed.
Best inker if you got better suggestions.
Yeah, give us inkers. I don't really know that many off the top of my head.
I left that blank. I was waiting for you.
Of course you did.
So
yeah.
You can tweet at us.
At TradeWaitersPod.
Yep. You can look at some videos of us on... at TradeWaiters on TikTok.
Yep. You can look at our faces.
Yep. See what that... Put See the name to the like. Face. That's yeah. always fun when you listen to podcasts.
Well, we've never like said who's who, I guess.
Yeah, we don't really talk in those, so...
Yeah. We don't say like, hey, I'm Nathan, and then start the TikTok.
Yeah.
So, anyway, piece it together on your own, and Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. Love you.